Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, friends. Welcome to an Unexpected Podcast. I'm Ez.
And I'm Lane.
And tonight, we are sniffing the night breeze as we discuss something mysterious.
Mysterious to you. We're going to be discussing, was Aragorn really in a love triangle?
Oh, my gosh.
Now, we're talking film Aragorn. We're not talking book Aragorn. And we can talk about that a little bit, too. But that's sort of... But mostly film Aragorn. Was he in a love triangle? Before we get into that... Ez, how are you, my friend?
Hey, man, I'm doing good. I'm drinking, as I said last episode, God's water again. So shirts are coming out soon.
Yeah,
big sale on the way.
Big sale on the merch.
Check that out. All proceeds go to
Rivendell. Really?
Yeah.
So Habitat Rivendell. Or Habitat for Humanity. Habitat.
I think. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah. I'll be looking for that God's water shirt coming soon. I'm doing good. I think I'm, you know, what's really nice is I think I'm full on out of the funk. Like it took like we were talking last episode, Dark Shadow last week and just things going on even the week before that and stuff, you know, and I've been wanting to do this. I'm so, invigorated. I'm so pumped after the last episode that we did talking about all you know, Aragorn. If you haven't heard it, go check it out. It was a great episode. We're talking, it was a moment Middle Earth, and it just feels good to be back on the mics talking. Because even if we you know, even if it's just like if I can't go down to the Shire, getting, I know it's late, you know, we stay up late, we're gonna be dog tired tomorrow, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But you get some juice, you get some God's water. And you get I don't know, I just it feel my cup runneth over, as they used to say, as the song went in church. So it just, it does. It feels good to talk Tolkien. It feels good to hang out with my brother, talk about things, just cut loose in between these. Half of the thing, I hope to God I never release accidentally the B-roll footage.
If you ever do, let's just call it Are We on Discord.
We're done.
We would be. That'd be our
at
curtain
that point,
call for sure.
Just, you know, we have retreated to Rivendell at that point. but no, I mean, it's just good. It's just good to sniff the night breeze. Stay up late and just, I don't know, man. It just, it's good. So I'm feeling good. And how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. Like to echo what you said, I've had a couple of short little funky kind of 2 day little episodes of feeling just like not like I'm sick or anything, just kind of, I don't know.
We
were talking about this before, like this time of year we always romanticize as being like picturesque and perfect, and it in a lot of ways it is, but something happens where you just like, I don't know if you're just so, all the exhaustion from summer finally catches up with you and you hit that hibernation mode, but it's like this fight between wanting to hibernate and wanting to soak up every last drop of fall before the leaves drop and we enter the season of winter, which we both love, so it's not a bad thing. But just like the whole, it feels like all of a sudden it gets dark real early. It feels like it came out of I was like, when did it start getting dark at 7? Like that was, it feels like it just happened 2 days ago. And before that, it was still 8. So it just, it feels like things kind of, it hits you all of a sudden. Time's about to change. So like daylight savings time is going to end. So it's going to be a darker. And it's like, you know, it just that element of this time of year, I do not like. But yeah, no, I'm feeling good. I'm glad we're doing this. This is so much fun every time. This is a really cool format. I'm also excited to when we get. I just finished last week. It didn't take very long, but I had been kind of putting off actually reading the Valaquenta, and that was really cool. I had like a spare moment on a Friday afternoon at school, my planning time at the end of the day, and I was like, I'm just gonna read this real quick. And there were some kids at another table. They're like, "Why are you writing in your book, Mr. Smith?" And I'm like, "Well, I'm taking notes on what I'm reading." And they're like, "That's weird." I was like, "Yeah, I guess. I guess it is."
Not in the day and age we live in, yes.
they're like, "You're writing a lot," and I'm like, "It's kind of my MO. It's what I do. I underline and I write quite a bit." But it was really cool to. I don't know. I think like the Silmarillion. The trick with it is just the more you spend. I think Matthew Johnson told us this. He was like, I love that you guys are taking it slow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think if you try and blow through it maybe, unless you're just a savant or like you got really high ACT scores when you're going through school, it's probably going to be a deterrent. You know what I'm saying? Going fast. So the fact that we're going slow, I really like. Because I'm still thinking about the creation of Ea, you know? And
oh, yeah.
The Void and Melkor's Discord, like I'm still there. So to move on slowly from that, I really like.
Well, but I think you just shocked a few people. I'm pretty sure they all thought our ACT scores were through the roof, and that might have been a show. Like breaking news here on an Unexpected Podcast.
We should release on the back of God's Water. We'll just put our numbers, our ACT numbers, and how many times we had to take them. I'm doing great. What's one thing, I know last time you hadn't had anything on your mind. What's been on your mind? You have like one, or is it nothing still? Are you feeling the force?
No, I think there's it's like determination. Like if I had to, it's just, I'm determined. It's like, I can't. That's just the word that when you said that, I was thinking, I'm just determined. I'm like locked in now. And it's after that chapter, it's just the events of last week. Things in my personal life, things you and I have talked about, things that you just want to, you know, like, hey, sometimes you just got to put your armor on and you got to get after
it. Strap up. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just like, sorry, there's no time to sit around and you just got to get up. You got to get up and get moving. So, and it's nothing major. It's just like, no, I'm more determined, I think, now than I've been in a long time. I had a moment. Even earlier today, before we got on this podcast, I was talking to Lottie, and I was just like, it's time. I got to suit up. Because, Lane, I'll tell you this. I'm not often, how to put this? There's, you and I are on a big porch, all right? Mm-hmm. And people say, you little braggadocious son of a gun, but we happen to be big dogs on the big porch. And I don't often get up and bark.
You're a friendly big dog. Mm-hmm.
Come on up here.
Yeah.
But when people start nipping and they start this isn't for anybody else out there on your own porch.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to bark. Sometimes you got to get after it.
Yeah, boy.
So I don't, that's all that's on my mind.
I'm glad you've been barking. Glad you've been barking because every once in a while, too, you got to bark so that you remember you got that bark. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. Somebody just heard me barking. They were like, that's the weakest bark I've ever heard.
It's like a little Tim Allen Home Improvement. I don't know. Sometimes all you need is a little bark. That's it.
True.
Like, I mean, a small tree. Yep. A small tree only has a little bark, if you think about it. Mm-hmm. And they're doing just fine. That tree is doing just fine.
Right.
I've had a couple things on my mind again, but they tie into each other. So the first thing is just this. I have it came to me the other day. Again, I was just thinking about like, okay, because I like to actually, you know, like I like to think sometimes about like, okay, what has been on my mind? So when we talk about it, I can have like that sort of bookmarked in my mind.
Yeah.
Because lots of things come and go. You know what I mean? But if something
has
been staying and I'm like, oh, that's a good one. I should really, because Ez, that'll make, give Ez a little giggle. But this was one that popped into my head. This is probably the longest play I've ever had. Because I tend to, if I got the ball, I shoot kind of a deal. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm very impulsive. Yeah.
I was there when the ball was checked in.
You were there for the Hustlers, for the YJs, that's the Yellow Jackets.
Yeah.
Not the Young Jeezys. Yeah, so you've seen that ball be shot.
Right.
Even Y League, you know, that one game.
Oh.
But the tractor trailers, I think we call. But I was thinking about this, you know, so this last summer, Ez and Lottie went to Deutschland, right? They spent the summer in Germany, yes. Went to Scotland. They were gone. We didn't see them for probably, 2.5 months, maybe?
Yeah.
2.5 months. In that amount of time in the Smith House, it was actually right before, I think we were going to see you right after this event happened. Yeah. And then, like, it didn't happen, and I was like, oh, God, man, I'm going to have to wait so long for this payoff. But I got it. I got the payoff, and I not only got it once, but then I think the next time you were over, it happened again. I just thought, this is the gift that just keeps on giving.
Yeah.
We had to get a new fridge in the Smith House.
Oh, yeah.
Had to get a new fridge. Fridge finally died. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, man.
We got a new fridge and got it in, and the door,
yeah,
right, was on a different hinge. It was on the opposite hinge.
Yeah.
And I had fully intended to, so it opens kind of into the kitchen as opposed to into the wall, if that makes sense.
Yep. Yep.
And I was like, oh, okay, well, I've never changed the hinge on a fridge door. I'm going to learn something new. I'm going to YouTube it, and I'm going to do this real quick. And as it turned out, like, we just enjoyed opening it that way better. For whatever reason, it feels like you got to work harder to get into the fridge.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's also not, so it's like you really better be hungry if you're going in there for me Sarah. And then there's also that aspect of it's not getting banged up against the wall and the girls just fling that thing open. So, sees a lot of action. But, so anyway, I was like, you know what, Sarah, I think I kind of like it on that side. She goes, I think I kind of like it on that side too. I was like, okay, cool. So I was like, we'll just keep it. And I was literally, cause how often do you and I just hang out in that kitchen, sit around the island, whether it be cluttered with Chinese food or dirty dishes, or it's clean and beautiful and sparkling. It's seen all. We've been there for every condition, right?
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, I'm like, you know what? A nice little benefit of not changing the hinge on this door is the next time Ez comes over and reaches in for a White Claw, he will be so befuddled. He'll think he's in an alternate universe, and he's just gone through one of what's his name? Not
Travis
Kelsey.
Travis Taylor's
portals, and he'll think it came out on the other side at Skinwalker Ranch. So I just like, you know, I'm just going to let that sit. And I thought it was only going to be like a couple weeks, and then you guys, like, something happened. I can't remember what happened. It was one of the golf outings we had to cancel again.
Right. Yeah,
that's what it was. Yep. And so you ended up not even coming. And so I was like, dang, man, I got to wait months for this. And every once in a while, it popped in my head. I'm like, yeah.
It's coming.
And because we tell each other the most bizarre things. I was like, don't tell Ez. We got a new fridge. Don't tell him. And so the first time you guys came I think it was like August, like mid or late August or something.
When we got back.
you were going into the fridge to grab something. And first of all, I think you even remarked, you were like, whoa, hey, new fridge. It was just so funny because it's like, it's the most basic fridge. It was the cheapest white fridge you can buy because, I don't know, I don't understand having like a TV screen or a like one of those things where you can look into your fridge. It doesn't make any sense to me. I'm never going to be like a Porsche fridge guy. Right. And I was like, yeah, new fridge. And I'm like, damn. I was like, dang, he saw. I was like, he saw, he's going to see where the hinge is. He's going to open it the right way. But sure enough, he goes towards the side of the door where the hinge is. He pulls.
Yep.
Does that little thing. I hope this video gets out. Do the little pull. Do the kind of look around like you're on hidden camera. That's the thing with Ez. If he ever runs into something that doesn't work how it's supposed to, he always does this kind of this confused look, and he looks for the cameras.
Yeah, my
Did you watch a bunch of? Did you watch a bunch of like?
The hidden camera.
Yeah, the hidden camera shows. Absolutely. Okay, it shows because you're just looking around. And I'm thinking like, I'm sitting back there. I'm like, yes, baby, let's go. I got one on my line, and I just gotta let it. I gotta let him set on the hook and just reel him in because I got him. It took him probably 4 or 5 tries. And then
I stayed on that side.
You thought it was just a strong magnet, or
I was like, "Man, this thing's stuck. Like this thing is like." I was trying.
That's one of them fresh magnets on that door. It is sticky.
Wow, this is brand new. Like they're not even
sealed
here.
Shut.
Shut. Gandalf spoke to this.
Is there a word of command on this fridge? Yeah. I think I had to say to Ez eventually. I'm like, "Hey, dude, it opens from the other." Side through my laughter, right? So he opens the door.
Yeah.
And then sure enough, the next the next 2 times. It's just so funny the muscle memory. And it shows how many times you've been how many times you've been in that damn fridge that it was like, because every once in a while it'll get me, but not as often as it's not at the same ratio. It's gotten you. It's like 100% of the time. 100%. Like first try, 100% of the time. Right. Not once, but 100% of the time. So that's been on my mind. That just gives me a nice chuckle. It does.
It was funny.
And so, but I've been in the kitchen because I've been starting to cook again a little bit more and getting kind of like, when I get out of recipe books, when I stop looking at cookbooks, I lose the kind of like energy and desire to like cook things. So yeah. there's a great cookbook out. If you like Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, if you're a fan of the Cornetto trilogy,
I saw your post about that.
Yeah, dude, it is awesome. So I thought it was going to be like a traditional cookbook. I don't know why I thought that. Why I thought Nick Frost would write a traditional cookbook. It's not. It's like his memoirs mixed in with recipes. Because for years he would share like things that he was cooking. He has excellent knife skills. I mean, he can just bunch of mushrooms, a bunch of onions, like a machine. Like I can only hope to, his knife skills are incredible. So anyway, it's like his memoirs, his sense of humor, and then there's a recipe. No pictures.
Yeah.
No pictures. Like it used to be. And that used to drive me nuts. We have certain, like some really old cookbooks in our collection that don't have any pictures. And I'm like, God, I don't know what it's supposed to look like. But his whole philosophy in writing this is approximations. And like how he has had, like he talks about, there's one whole section about bread. Talking about learning bread. He was having insomnia, and to try and, since he was up, he was like, well, I'm just going to teach myself how to make breads.
Wow.
So he tried a couple different loaves, and then he really got really into focaccia. And it's so cool because I remember seeing him do this on Instagram. I think even during like the COVID lockdowns and stuff, he was doing this like full-blown like cooking stories and stuff and videos on his feed. So it was really kind of nostalgic that way too. But anyway, I tried a couple of his recipes. The one was beef stroganoff. And the really cool thing he does, like any good cookbook, he shares a story behind the dish, right? And so like beef stroganoff was one of these things that, it's one of those things that I never even think to make. I think I had it a couple times as a kid and hated it. And so it has not been in my like mental go-to for like, hey, I want to make this and enjoy this. Mm-hmm. So, but it was something, the story that he tied to it was beautiful. He talks about his mom having like bouts with alcoholism and having depression and like having a lot of demons to piggyback off of our moment in Middle Earth. Yeah. But dark times. But he talked about how when they had stroganoff, there was something in her, whether it's the making of it or the eating of it or both, that like those clouds moved away. And so it's a good memory that's tied to his mom. And it's something that he has always made and he's always found comfort in. It's a comfort food and that he hopes like his kids will make themselves someday. And so I was like, you know what? That's beautiful. I was like, it's something I've never made. It's simple enough. Like it's not a real complicated recipe. Sounds delicious. I saw him actually, I think for promo for the cookbook, he actually made it on Instagram and was doing like a thing. I was like, you know what? Hell, I'm going to try that. So last weekend, we got the ingredients for it. We tried it and it was a lot of fun to do because it like there were no pictures. There was no like, there were a lot of approximations. And so I was like, this is really cool. Like it's almost like you really, I think when recipes are written that way, you focus more on the stove and the ingredients than you do the book. And it, right. it really yeah. helps you hone those skills of like, okay, I think this is ready. I just got a feeling like this has been in here long enough. Let's switch this over. Let's taste it. Okay, it tastes fine. All right, well, maybe it's a little, the meat could go a little bit longer. That kind of stuff. It really makes yeah, yeah. you kind of think about your cooking and interact with it as opposed to just going, okay, it's been 5 minutes, set the timer. Okay, now this is going, do I have the, oh God, those ingredients. Okay, it's less frenetic. So right. I made that. It was delicious, dude. Had it for... I actually drowned my sorrows in it when Ireland lost to the All Blacks in the the World Cup. So it was nice that I had some comfort food to help me through that. But it was delicious. And I was like, you know what? There was another thing in there. It was their Monday dish that his family would make. I think he even laid out. Yeah, beginning of the book, he has like what they would have on each night of the week. And so I think he's going to go through and do all of those and a lot more. But this was it's a Welsh soup. It's called Cawl. C-A-W-L, and it's literally just like a chicken soup, but it's really interesting, and it's very like bland, it's simple, but like every once in a while, I don't know about your palate, I crave like just a flat, almost like palate reset dish, like a food dang, I love how simple this is. I love that this isn't overly complicated. I love that this is a great base that you can incorporate other things with. So like you boil water, you take we took a rotisserie chicken, like those rotisserie chickens you get from Kroger.
Yeah. Yes.
You put that in the boiling water and you let it like cook for 30 minutes. You bring it down to a lower heat level, cooks, and then it makes its own broth.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
With that chicken, you pull the chicken out, you pull all the meat off, you put in a bunch of leeks, onions, carrots, and potatoes. And that's it. You pull all the meat off. You put the meat back in. It is delicious. So anyway, it's been really cool to like feel inspired to cook things again. I actually went through another great cooking resource is Milk Street Magazine. It's incredible. They've got all kinds of really cool dishes in there. It's like I think it's a quarterly magazine. Every couple months, maybe six times a year. Every couple months it comes out.
Milk Street.
I've done Milk Street, like that's the thing. You remember that banana pie I made you guys where I almost cut my finger off? I think it was the first time Lottie came over. That's from there. I've made some other things from that. I love going through because they do a lot of like they go to different places in the world, see what foods are good there that people make that have like a real unique tastes, and then they come back and they write like the recipe and they talk about
it.
So it's awesome. So the most recent issue, I found like five or six things I want to do like this holiday season. So yeah, I'm enjoying being in the kitchen again. I'm loving it,
dude. I love this, because that makes me think of Lainey Oliver days. You know,
Lainey. Like, I know, and I think about I get usually when stuff's real crazy and hectic, Sarah and I both just like we don't have energy to cook. We go basic. I mean, it's when you got little kids too, it's hard because they're even though you try to get them to try stuff, unless you got really just bizarre kids, and I mean bizarre in a good way.
Yeah.
I mean, there's like a phase where they don't want to try anything. And I remember being like that too. I didn't want to try anything.
Oh, same.
But my mom just kept making crazy stuff. And I was that kid when I was working at Gelled Wen at a factory. I was bringing in curry, homemade curry that my mom had made. And I loved it. So, you know, I mean, that's something that hopefully I can just keep making weird stuff. Sarah and I can keep making bizarre dishes and they'll grow to like that. So, and they do try it. But so anyway.
It's good.
Yeah. Back in the kitchen and loving it. Speaking of being in the kitchen.
Yeah.
We're talking some love, baby. We're talking some love this episode. I should have said at the beginning, I'm so sorry. Maybe we can plot this in there. This Night Breeze comes to us from Leonie in Sydney, Australia.
Whoa.
And she is on Instagram. She messaged us way back in July of 2022.
Whoa.
And she had a great
we were gonna before do these.
We didn't even know. We were actually awaiting the Rings of Power at that time. We're building up for the show.
Bless but this our was hearts.
Just we had no idea what we were in for. We were in for heartbreak. We were ailing.
Wow.
So this question came and I just always thought like it would be really great to incorporate into an episode.
Yeah.
Couldn't ever figure out how. And she messaged us again recently. And I thought, you know what? That would be really cool. So I asked her, I'm like, would you care if we did this on a Night Breeze episode or just an episode coming up? I didn't even tell her it was going to be a Night Breeze.
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah, of course. She'd love to get other people's opinions. And I thought it kind of applied to us in a way that we can speak from a a guy's perspective.
Yeah.
But I think it's both. I think it's men and women can find themselves in these situations. But we'll get into that. So she just says, "Hey guys,
this could go."
Oh, too long. Okay, I'm sorry.
No. Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, I could take this in a thousand different directions.
Oh, right now. I hope so. Okay. So this, she wrote, "Hey guys, good day from Sydney, Australia. Thanks so much for the last podcast, the Fellowship movie review." She says, "My query," and that's when you and Lottie were going through the movies. She said, "My query to the Two Towers movie. I can't read. I'm sorry." The Two Towers coming up that you guys were going to watch and review is that I am keen on your take on the Aragorn and Eowyn relationship, and specifically what your thoughts on Aragorn's thoughts or feelings here, as much like every woman has probably felt once or 20 times. I find him slightly confusing with what I can only describe as mixed messages in some ways. Obviously, we know the outcome of his feelings, but do you agree that from first seeing her as he approaches Rohan, she seems to catch his attention? He comes across, for the most part of the movie, like he is attracted in some way. Obviously, she feels this due to her surprise when he ultimately tells her he doesn't have what she seeks. I know this plays out differently in the books, so was keen for your take. Thanks again, guys. Hope to hear your thoughts from one Lord of the... Wow, I cannot read tonight. From one Lord of the Rings fan to another, keep safe. Kia ora, Leonie. So the one of the reasons I want to bring this up, and we had like, I think I messaged her back. I said, this is awesome. I've thought about this myself. And I kind of gave my opinion there. There's a follow-up. She said, thanks for replying, guys. So appreciate you taking the time to reply. This is another kind of reference. My only other comment is when the wargs come to attack the people of Rohan traveling, you see him spin around and look at her before he rides off. This is a huge moment. This is probably the linchpin in the argument that he did indeed have some other feelings for her in the films, right?
Yeah.
Then after this, he gets injured, and it feels to me like Arwen comes and pulls him back, which I had never thought of it from that perspective, right? That's crazy. That, like, right after he has that, like, almost goodbye connection. They had been talking, you know, we'll get into that. Reminding him of their connection and love. This is then when he shakes it off and his connection with her shifts. So she said, off to listen to your latest podcast. Happy days, guys. So the one of the reasons I want to bring this up is because I feel like, man or woman, when you are kind to people, especially when you're kind to like the opposite gender, the opposite sex, whatever, that there are definitely times where it can be misinterpreted as something more.
Yeah.
Right? And I think you and I have both found ourselves in that position before, sometimes unknowingly. Like Sarah used to tell me this all the time. Sarah used to, she used to be like, Lane, you don't even realize that people think that you're flirting with them.
Okay.
I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, you're just so nice. She's like, you are so nice to people when you talk to them that I think sometimes it comes off as... And I'm just like, I remember hearing that and being like, oh my God, really?
Yeah.
I had never even thought of it that way. I said, I think this is just you, Sarah. I think this is just you, like, like wanting to make sure that I'm like thinking about how I'm interacting with people. Like, I don't think that other people take it that way. She's like, I think you're probably wrong. I was like, oh my gosh. Okay. So anyway, it was a moment where I'm like, whoa, I really need to like think about, I guess, like, how exactly my interactions with people can be taken and like.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores led by Walmart and Target are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Be more sensitive to that so that I'm not like, you know, I don't know, like, right. I don't, you know, like,
well,
communicating in the wrong way, unknown to my, like, unknowns to me. So I think you probably found yourself in that situation as well.
Yeah. We're treading water here. This is going to be,
got your floaties.
Yeah. There's a couple things I want to say first. All right. That if I feel like, okay. Man, all right. If somebody says, "Hey, this is the your actions, whatever you said, did blah blah blah, made me feel this way," and I always say, you got to acknowledge, okay, they mm-hmm. feel that way. Mm-hmm. I may not agree that my actions warranted them feeling that way. Mm-hmm. I didn't see that coming. Mm-hmm. So thank you for letting me know, and then we can kind of, all right, now I can adjust course, right?
Yeah.
So, because sometimes I feel like, yeah, I get you. And I feel, man, yeah, like, yeah, you never want to take away from what that person thought, felt, or whatever, because it's real to them. To Eowyn here, it's sort of like, that is what she was feeling. Whether we think Aragorn was, you know, giving her that type of attention, and then she read into it far, far too much. Regardless, his act, something to her, I mean, this is where it gets dicey.
I don't think there's a right answer. No, there's not.
He might not think that anything he said or did, he's just being, mm-hmm. you know, kind. She's a lady there. And mm-hmm. I mean, for all we know too, another wrench I'm going to throw in all this conversation mm-hmm. is mm-hmm. like, what if Arwen is just bouncing, you know?
Bro, I was just going to bring up, if we're in the film universe only.
Yeah.
Maybe this is it right here. If we're in the film universe only.
Yeah.
Technically.
Yep.
I can't believe I'm about to say this.
Say it.
Technically.
Everyone wants you to say it.
Aragorn kind of dumped Arwen.
Wow.
He kind of dumped Arwen. And we get it in those flashbacks mm-hmm. Right before the Fellowship leave. And this is brilliant. This is the way the Two Towers, with some of those scenes in that flashback when, you know, Eowyn says, "Who is she? The lady who gave you that jewel?" And he goes, yeah. "Oh. Wow, I haven't thought about, well, I've been thinking about her, but here we go into a flashback." Right. And we see all this, you know, Elrond kind of pleading with him to let her go, let her be free, let her be with her people. That's what she needs. He's like, "Dad, I mean, Elrond, what the heck, man? Like, don't tell me how to handle my business. I know that she's your, mm-hmm. your daughter, but she's my lady, man." Mm-hmm. And he's like, "Hey, boy, I'm kind of your dad, but I'm kind of your dad-in-law. You don't talk to me like that. I'm both." And he goes, "Fine, whatever." And so then the next thing we see is that morning. I can't remember if this is deleted scene or not, or extended scene. I'm pretty sure it was. I don't remember. But yeah. We see him about to leave with the Fellowship.
Uh-huh.
And she says, "Did you think that you would be able to slip off before first light?" Okay. Whoa.
Okay.
Must have done this before.
Right.
And he says, "You know, I don't plan on returning. I'll never be back." And she says, "You underestimate your skill in battle." And it's not death in the battlefield I speak of, all in Elvish, of course. And then, you know, he pretty much just says, I'm immortal, you're elf kind, it was a dream, Arwen, nothing more. And he hands her back the Evenstar, right? Mm-hmm. And everyone knows this who's seen it. They're like, Lane, skip it. Right. But anyway, what I'm saying is that was a breakup. Now, like, the really cool thing is there's an extended part of when the Fellowship leaves in the Fellowship of the Ring where Aragorn stops and looks back and Arwen is, like, crying.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that was added in the extended scenes. And we think, like, just watching the Fellowship, you're like, man, she is so sad that he's going on this journey. He might never come back. Like, his fate is before him.
Yeah.
To rise above or to fall like his kin.
Yeah.
And that's why she's emotional. But this scene, the Two Towers, informs us that it's like, nah, because he just broke up with her.
Yeah.
And she said, you know what? Keep my necklace. Keep it so that you can remember me or that I can communicate with you.
Yes, sir. Yes,
when
sir.
When you almost die, I'll have that clutch. Right. Around your neck, baby. So anyway, only thing that would help argue with that idea that maybe he was thinking about, like, you can't get into Aragorn's head. It's impossible. We don't know. He's a mysterious character. Anyway, I think that also kind of is a little incriminating of him. Of maybe, I don't know. It makes it more mysterious, which I like. That he technically did break up with Arwen. So. That means to me he wouldn't have been cheating on Arwen. He just would have been entertaining this idea of, well, maybe I'm destined to be with a human woman instead of an elf.
Sure. You know? Yeah. 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 I mean, so but, one of the things I thought about this, like, what if when Gondor calls for aid?
Oh boy.
Okay. Theoden says
aid, aid,
aid.
Okay.
Yeah. Calls for aid. And basically, I mean, maybe, you know, in the days of old, it's sort of like, look, there's a, like, an alliance needs to be struck here. Like, what if he said, if you take
it was political. Oh, yeah. Gosh.
What if you took Eowyn's hand in marriage? You know,
that's another aspect you're bringing up. There is a lot of pressure. So you had pressure from, gosh, dang, the older gentlemen. They just really have... They have the potential for such negative impacts. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have Elrond who was saying, let my daughter go. And then you got Theoden coming in saying, you make her so happy. You make her so happy. Yeah. Like, implying that a deal's been struck already. Like, I'm glad you guys are going to be wed. Easy. Now, hey, hold on now.
You said earlier that it's difficult to get into the mind of Lord Aragorn, but I mean, to quote the movie, he said, you have some skill with a blade. And if that, I mean, that's what he said. And then she said, you know, the woman of this country learned long ago that those without swords can still die upon them. I fear neither death nor pain. Right. So
what do you fear, my lady? Yeah.
A cage.
Right.
All right. Yeah.
I do not think that will be your fate. I know the scene well. Yeah. It's something that, wow, I mean, I had forgotten that. They really do build this up.
Well, I mean, is he kind of hitting on her? Is he flirting with her there? You have some skill with the blade.
Now, I do want to... Yeah, okay, so I do want to bring up another moment. I don't think it's... He kind of doesn't like her cooking. Mm-hmm. And I think that was probably not a very progressive choice by the filmmakers. I mean, really? Oh, come on. Can't do better than that. Like, come on. She made the soup that I made from Nick Frost's book.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's going to dump it out. Jeez, what a trope.
You know, hold on, though. That is true. Like, in most of those, like, I mean, Yoda makes the stew that Luke doesn't, you know. I mean,
come on.
There's always that a moment like just that.
Not very helpful for the progression of, you know, that's all I'm saying.
No, it's
But, yes, there are all these moments. There are all these moments. Then there's the one even... See, this is after. So I think Leone makes a great point that there's that shift. And I had never caught that before. There's that shift when he... Now, the one thing I will say is when he does turn around and look back, Brego's doing some kind of fancy footwork anyway. So it's not like he was like, hey, turn around so I can see my babe one more time. Or my future babe. Possible babe. What would he have called that? I don't know. My potential? My babe. I don't know what he called it. Maybe baby. I don't know what Aragorn would have, you know.
Yeah. I don't either.
I don't know. We're married men. We don't know. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know what you call someone that you were. So anyway,
Wait.
Yeah, come on.
Is he single or is he not at this point?
My point is, I think that I don't think he's with.
Is he in a committed relationship or not?
In the films, if we're going pure film,
he's not.
I think he's a single man. I think he's a single man.
Right.
And I think that's why this is dangerous.
To ride to war with him.
Oh God, I forgot about that.
You know, she says, like, I mean, she's asking for him to do that, and so
yeah.
This is sort of like, hey,
and you're right. There's a sword conversation.
I mean, Satan will say, you know,
yes. But my thing is that glance, right?
Yeah.
I kind of feel like that's 50-50% Brego's fault, because the horse is just going crazy. So I mean, you can't be like, you're gonna look where your horse. But he does look back though. That is a great point. It is a very poignant moment where he like looks back. She looks at him. There's no real expression. Yeah. Just kind of like this.
Right.
Up in the air.
And she's clearly disappointed. She clearly thought there was something going on.
Yeah.
He walks with her. He spends a lot of time with her.
Lego, they are walking. They're kind of making fun of Gimli too. It's like the nerdy friend who's brought them together. And Gimli's like, oh, you should see a dwarven woman's hairy back. Like, it's like, okay, wow, what a weirdo. It's the beards. it's like flirting via like chaperone, kind of almost like he's our safe space.
Right.
We're in public, you know. So
she had a suitor. She had someone though already who was like,
she did.
You know, I mean, Wormtongue was giving her the same kind of attention.
Oh bro, he wanted to lock her down. He wanted to give her a ring.
I know.
A ring of power. And really, if you squint at Aragorn, you kind of get Grima. I mean, and the passion's there. So she kind of, you know what? This might be just as interesting of a question. Wow, dude. I mean, we don't know what happened before we got there.
Yeah.
Did she do to Grima what Aragorn did to her? And was this just karma kind of coming back to bite her until she found and fell in love with, and some people would argue, was forced to marry Faramir? I mean, we don't know the full Grima story.
Yeah, we don't. And also, like, I'm thinking, how long was he there? Was he once a good advisor? Was Saruman, you know, at one point he was good, right? I mean, it's a slow turn kind of thing. And
how long had he been? We don't know how long he'd been working for Saruman, you know? And he was probably, before he was Wormtongue, he was probably Smoothtongue, you know? I mean, or Silvertongue. I'm sure he was.
Yeah.
So anyway, I digress. But like, you know, I'm thinking to myself that look was also kind of from Eowyn's point of view. If you think about it, like Aragorn's looking at us, so we're kind of like in Eowyn's shoes. So maybe she imagined it like lasting longer. I don't know, but maybe not. Maybe it was like a genuine look. And then you get into, of course, you get into the Return of the King, and she's like even hinting at the fact that she loves him.
Yeah.
They ride to war with you because they would not be parted from you because they love you. And it's whoa, oh gosh, dude. And at that point, it's I think that Leone is totally right. That moment, I think everything that happens after shows that in that moment when Arwen like visits him and gives him the breath of life, that he's like, yeah, you know what? I might not have a chance. Like, she might leave, and that's my own fault. But if I can't be with her, I'm not going to be with anybody, kind of a deal. I think that he almost kind of makes that decision at that point, because I've never even thought of it that way. When he goes back, when he finally makes it to Helm's Deep, like the interaction is very kind of cold.
Yeah.
And even after the battle, it's again very kind of cold. Even when they raise their glasses to the victorious dead, Hale, and she comes over and gives him a cup, and she even speaks Elvish. And he just sort of sips it and then walks on. It's like, you know,
Okay.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. You know, you're allowed to come up and say, hey, I like you. I think you're really nice. I think you look really nice. Or would you like to go out or grab some dinner? You know, that's totally fine. And then it's up to him to not reciprocate those feelings.
So I think I've changed my mind. I think he was putting out vibes.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe that one scene, possibly that you're kind of talking about, because it's just like, it's death. It's like he's looking at her. I mean, it's proximity. She's there. Mm-hmm. Maybe they've kind of bonded and there's some sort of friendship going on there or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he's riding off to his potential death, you know, and it almost
also
does in the movie. Right.
And I'm just going to sound insensitive to A1, but he's also on the rebound.
Yeah.
He's also coming off the most serious relationship of his life. And so maybe he's just missing that companionship. And he's like, I mean, she's here.
Yeah.
She's a beautiful lady. She thinks I'm funny when I talk about the beard joke.
Right.
She made me soup.
Right.
Maybe that is some sort of like, there is an appeal there. And he's not embracing it, but he's not like ruling it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know, dude. It's complicated.
Okay, I got
it's
you.
Complicated.
It is complicated. And I know I've seen, I'm actually, I've even typed in,
I know,
Aragorn, Eowyn. There's people on both sides. Like, people are just like, no, he totally let her on. And then so you're like, no, he totally did not. He didn't reciprocate her feelings. And there's back an almost 50-50 split here on Reddit and other places.
He didn't. So yeah, I'll side with that he didn't reciprocate feelings and like verbally.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But he was, I don't know. So he was, the problem is he wasn't unkind to her. If he would have been like, just kind of, if he would have been like a Denethor to her, no problem. I'm definitely, you know, on the side of,
no,
there were no feelings. But again, how are you nice to people and kind to people and friends without like coming across as communicating something more? And I think that's maybe just that's like almost sort of in the eye of the beholder. Would you agree? Like, I think maybe it's sort of, that's why it's a great, this might be the greatest debate of the Lord of the Rings films, honestly. I think it, I mean, one of the Two Towers posters, one of the teaser posters, is Aragorn standing with his sword in the middle of the poster, literally dividing the poster. And on one side, Eowyn is turned looking over her shoulder back at the viewer. And Arwen's on the other side, turned over her shoulder, the choice is before him.
Wow.
Now, again, this is all the films, right? This is the movie universe, right?
Right, yeah.
But it is something that is a part of the movie experience that is very interesting. I love that Leone sent us this message. Like, it is something you really do, you have to stop and think about. Maybe we should put out a poll for our uppers, too, and say, just point blank.
Yeah. Yeah, like what do people, where do you stand?
Follow up.
Because I don't think I've ever taken it super seriously because I've been like, no, I kind of know in the book. But then I'm sort of like, wait a second. If you're just going in Showverse, I mean, for sure.
And if you think about that, what he said to her as being a somewhat literal breakup.
Yeah.
I mean, how would you define that conversation where he's like, you know, he literally saying to our, it'd be like you going to Lottie and saying it was a dream, nothing more. Or me going to Sarah and being like, you know, like we're dating, we're getting ready to get engaged. Maybe we are engaged. Although I don't think that that's in the movies. That's the case. But like, and you just say, you know, this isn't real.
Wow. Yeah.
We're not going to make it. That would be a breakup. Or at least going on a break, I guess. I don't know the terms that kids use these days.
In both situations, it's like Aragorn thinks, so with Eowyn, it's sort of like, I'm not anybody that would be attractive or that anybody would be interested in. So he doesn't see how any attention that he gives anywhere is going to, I mean, he's a man of war.
Yeah. Right.
And he's just about his business and he's leading. His mind is totally like somewhere else. Right. And then also it's the same sort of thing with Arwen, where he's sort of like, I'm protecting you. Like he doesn't see any way where she can be with him because his mind's just made up. Like, this is what I have to do.
Yeah.
It's just because I care so much about her. I've got
a selfless act. Yeah. So I think that's another like defense for Aragorn is that he didn't break up with her. To say breaking up is kind of like minimizing it dismissing it or something, because like he didn't, it's not like he wanted to, he wasn't just isn't working out. It's literally like his way at the behest of her father to get her to try and leave. It's almost kind of manipulative in a way. He's kind of like, well, if I mean, like, what isn't manipulation? Like, if I break up with her or if I say this is done, then she will have no choice. She'll have to
Yeah.
Like she'll want to leave out of grief, if nothing else. And right. so that's right. kind of be like, I can break up with her to save her.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. that she's not here when I fail and we fail and Sauron takes back over.
Yep.
Because that's what Elrond says to him too. He's like, you're going to lose. You ride to war, but you do not ride to victory.
Yeah.
She stays because she has hope. She stays for you. She belongs with her people. That's the kind of stuff that's being fed into air. Jeez, Elrond. Elrond, bad guy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
That's a good point. Yeah, man. I mean, yeah, he's doing it. Oh, yeah. So
it's complicated.
I think he still has that same mindset, though, with Eowyn, right? I think even if he's giving her attention, I feel like he has that same mindset of like, it doesn't really matter. He's like, so his mind is made up with Arwen. He sees Eowyn. He's like, I'm in the same headspace here. Like, same things that Elrond said to him are still in his mind. So no woman is of this is death, as Théoden says, right? Death.
He's that cool guy who was in a band, but he took it seriously and they were going to make it big, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so, or like the guy who was like really into his sport. He was like, no girlfriends, man. No girlfriends. Not till I make the NBA or the NFL.
Right.
Like one of those guys. And you always were like, what's this guy? This dude's not making it onto a college team. Like, what is he talking about? Like, he's going to waste like youth on just thinking he's delusional. Like, except not the case with Aragorn. But it's that same kind of thing where he's like, you're right. His mind's made up on the task. He doesn't want to endanger anyone. He doesn't even want to endanger his friend. In Aragorn's defense in the films, he's going to take the paths of the dead by himself.
Yeah.
Yes. And he tells Gimli and Legolas, nope, not this time. You guys got to stay here. And they're like, we're coming with you, man. You can't.
Yes.
So maybe it's just this kind of disconnection from anyone. But my Lord, it's honestly, at first I was like, no way. I think even my response, I was like, I don't think he let her on at all. I think that was probably all just a misunderstanding of his kindness. And then I thought that kind of like that sort of diminishes like Eowyn's perspective. Yeah. And I was like, I think we've all been in that position too, where you really like someone, even if it's like a friend, you're like really into a friendship or something, and the person's kind of like, I don't really think we're gonna be friends.
Yeah.
Like it could be like a platonic friendship, well, obviously. And it's like, no,
that's how a lot of relationships or marriages, soulmates, they start off that way. And you're kind of
it's like you and I.
Exactly.
We don't like each other. We're stuck with
now
each
we're
other.
In the most complicated.
God.
Kidding.
Did Ez lead Lane on or did Lane lead Ez on? That would be a good
one. That's the poll.
That's the poll right there. Who led who on?
But I don't know. Let's let the uppers decide.
Wasn't that great though? Like, what a cool.
I've not given it.
Me neither. And you think? Well, I think I was always in denial. I'm like, no. Arwen all the way, baby. Come on.
No, Eowyn's awesome.
I mean, and Eowyn is awesome. But like, I think I even mentioned being a very young teenager, and awakening from a dream. I had fallen asleep. Do you know the story? I think I've talked about it on here. I fell asleep during the Fellowship of the Ring, and I must have had one hell of a nap. I mean, it was like very restful. But I awake. I like come out of that slumber as I'm opening my eyes. The screen is white, and it's Arwen hopping right off of Asphaloth and walking right towards the camera, and that has been something. That was burned into my soul, dude. As like a 14-year-old boy, you know what I'm saying? And so it was like kind of one of those things that I just can't. I could never be Team Eowyn, never. Just like I could never be Team Taylor. Like it's not in the stars, babe.
It's not in your blood. Yeah,
it's not in my blood. So I don't. So in that manner, I hadn't ever given it serious. I'm like, nah, that's just people who want him to be with Eowyn, or they want it to be some kind of like scandal, right?
Right.
But her points were really good. I thought,
Oh no, they're really good. I think we need to do a part two to this at some point.
Do some research, analyze. Book.
Yeah, because even in bringing Faramir into all of this, because I'm not even so sure that he gets a. She's still processing all sorts of stuff.
Oh.
And he is.
You think he was a predator? Are you calling Faramir a predator?
No. I'm saying he's.
Okay.
Whoa. No. I'm saying he's there for her when she's still processing. Remember that? Yeah. I want to go back and do some research. We should do a part two. We should do a part two on that.
You know, people think that about Faramir, though, right? The people who are super, they think that he was like preying on her,
really?
Vulnerability and her. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think we even heard from some people when we went through that chapter that they were like, oh, well, here we go. I think they were like, Lena knows. Happy for the traditional love story. And it was just like, geez, dude, she seems happy. Oh, look at line four. She doesn't seem too happy to me. She seems kind of pressured. She's in Minas Tirith.
And now they're going to clip out me laughing here and context. I have to go back and research it. I don't remember. That's why we do the moments in Middle Earth, because there's so many of these moments where we're flitzing through a chapter, man. Some people go four or five parts on a chapter. We went one episode.
We're maniacs. It was 4 hours long. But you're right. There's stamina that's lost. My thing with Faramir is I think he's too pure a heart to do something like that. Like I think the two purest of heart characters in these stories. I don't care what you say. I care what you say, but Sam and Faramir.
I got you.
I think they are the two who are the most, like, they couldn't even, to an unreal belief, like, they couldn't have a bad thought. Like, they're incapable. Yeah. They're almost sentient beings. Like, they're not really normal dudes. And so, in my mind, I just have always seen Faramir's approach to Eowyn in the terms of, like, he's the one who's at risk of getting hurt. Not her. He's the one at risk of, because she is so strong-willed and because she is such a fierce, like, character, like, Faramir should watch out. He's going to get his heart broken. He would be the lucky one, you know, to be able to end up with her. And,
Yep.
I don't know, whatever. But, anyway, huge thanks to Leone. Fodder for conversation. I hope that the wait was worth it. I hope that the discussion did the topic justice, but thank you for sending that to us a year and a half ago, something like that. Crazy.
Hey, we're going to do a part two. It was definitely worth it.
Baby.
Stirred the pot. So
part two and Minas Tirith, the love between Eowyn and Faramir. Faramir, you love the same one. You going to Eowyn her heart, buddy? These night breezes are a lot of fun. We have a whole list still of topics and questions to go over. We're going to keep pounding those out. We love doing them. If you've listened and you've thought of one, or you just haven't,
bring them in, baby.
Yeah, please bring them in. DMs on Instagram.
Yep.
Slide in there, send us your question, and we will absolutely add it. We have a doc, a literal, we always reference the doc. We've got the doc ready to go. We're crossing out ones as we get to it. We're putting the date on there. We've got your name, usually just your handle. If your name's attached to that, we put your name and handle, and then we put where you message us. And we love it, guys. So keep sending those our way. We'll keep pounding these out. I guess really just remember, don't stop sniffing ever. And don't ever stop forgetting. Don't ever forget to stop sniffing. And don't never forget the sniffing.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.